You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 176 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and Spalding Labs. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse. Brought to you in cooperation with the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
On today's show, we're back with our Spotlight Make the Makeover trainer and HRN auditor, Shannon Quashy, for an update on her journey to Kentucky with Sylvia I Am. Then we meet an adoptable horse of the week and a new training tip with New Vocations Amanda Vance. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Retired Racehorse Radio.
This is Joy Orr in Detroit, Michigan.
And this is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York, and you're listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Kristen, it finally happened after multiple times of announcing it, and then it didn't happen, but I had my first lesson.
Whoop, whoop.
I know. I was so excited.
I love that, like, horseback riding is one of those things where you're, like, a lifelong lesson taker.
Yes. Right?
Like, that's hard to explain sometimes to people where they're like, oh, you still take lessons? And it's like, yeah, girl, of course I do. You know, I say this like I haven't had a lesson in a long time, but at some point I will get back to it, I promise.
Well, it's also like a sport. You can get lessons in all kinds of ways, whether you have like a one-on-one, you go to a clinic, you do virtual lessons, sometimes just watching other riders, scribing. You can learn in so many ways from the sport.
Oh, yeah, like that ride IQ model. That's super interesting to me. Someday I will get into that.
Yes. I also noticed that Boyd Martin has gotten into the AI and created his own AI trainer.
Oh.
Haven't tried it, but was intrigued. Let us know if you want to sponsor the show, Boyd.
Just give you a free shout out.
Just assuming that he listens. Anyway.
Right. He certainly does.
Yes. And speaking of Boyd Martin level training, I had my first lesson back, and it wasn't what I was anticipating, but it actually was what I needed.
You like teased this a little bit, like to me, and I was super fascinated by this. So please tell us more.
I know. I think I left one message in the group chat and didn't say anything else.
Yeah, you were like, "This happened. Bye."
Yes, that's really what it was. We I like, told you oh. nothing else for like a week.
It's fine. It's good. That means that I get to hear it the way the listeners get to hear it, which is now.
I wish it was because I really was that good at creating suspense. It's just because I have mom brain, but it's okay. So I was going to, I have a level R dressage judge that I'm learning from, and she's amazing. I've scribed for her for years now, and I asked her if she'd be willing to give me lessons. She's like, 100%, you're one of my favorite people. I was like, sweet, because she only takes on a select number of students with her time these days. And then I got there thinking I'm going to be riding her PRE horse. That's who she initially told me I'd be working with. So oh, I was really stoked to have this like fancy Spanish bred horse to ride who knows all the fancy tricks. Right. And she's like, you're going to work with our, you know, 25-year-old quarter horse Rocky from the ground today.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah. And like a part of me was disappointed. I was like, what? Like, and then she's like, I want to see what you know from the ground and how that's going to translate into the saddle. So we're starting a whole series on me learning to start a horse and then like moving into like from the ground, how do I get everything? We free lunged for it too. It wasn't even like long lines or anything like that. She wanted me to free lunge and see like, do I know how to get a horse to turn away from me, turn in towards me, which that was very hard. By the way, free lunging on a horse who doesn't know it. Like this horse did not know how to do this. So it's not like I'm working with a schoolmaster in this space. And he was distracted by the outdoors and feed. So it was kind of perfect in a lot of ways. And then we also worked on how to get the horse to soften from the ground. So relaxing their head, relaxing their neck into the shoulder and starting to engage their core as well, just by doing some really simple turn on the forehand from the ground with barely touching them. So her whole philosophy is not using tools. You need to learn how to do it without the tools. And then if you want to use tools later for different horses, that's fine. but your goal should be to not need them.
That is like, that like also sounds completely like your jam.
It was very much up my alley. Like, I was like, I have found my horse woo-woo space. I'm just going to put a yurt here and leave Zach with the children. And I'm just going to study here for the next year.
Oh my God, that'd be fascinating. Also be fascinating to see like how Lord of the Flies it gets with Zach and the children left to their own
devices. It would not go well.
But that's super cool though. Like, and that's like, that's all the stuff we take for granted, right? Of like, oh, of course I know how to do this. And then you're like, wait, do I? No, I don't.
Exactly. I was like, oh yeah, Astrid turns into me all the time. Well, I taught Astrid with a lunge line. So to do it without a tool, no, I didn't know what I was doing. I was like Ricky Bobby. And I'm like, what do I do with my hands? Like, it was awkward. And it really did humble me immediately of like, okay, I'm here to learn. Show me all the things. So that was really good. Yeah.
Like you said, I mean, it's hard to like be humble and come into something and be like, I don't know how to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, please teach me, you know, like that. That's hard to do as a human. Like we're so defensive to immediately be like, well, the reason I can't do it this way is because of this, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm kind of excited too to learn how to start a horse effectively for dressage, because it really is going up the levels, like starting at that intro level, what we're looking for from the ground, and then how do you translate it into the saddle. So while I've ridden above intro level, I never was taught what to look for in like a prospect, or if I were to bring my next horse, because we've been talking of eventually I'm going to horse shop and bring a horse home. How am I going to start that horse for that career? So it's really given me a solid foundation. So I'm super stoked for this part of my journey.
Yeah, I love that.
Me too. So I'll have them every other week because momming is hard. But the other nice thing is I can practice using Astrid with all the ground stuff. So it gives her something to do too.
Yeah, that's so good for Astrid.
Yeah, I put it on social. So listeners, this is coming out in a couple days, or in a couple weeks. I'm trying to remember what day it is. So it comes out May 25th is when you're listening to it. Current day is May 5th, right? 6th. Anyway, go back to our social channel.
You're doing great.
Go back to our social channel if you stayed on that long to hear that rant. And you'll see that I posted a little bit of what I'm working on. But basically, to turn inside, you're kind of dividing the horse into quadrants. And you're using your outside hand, pointing it at their nose, opening a doorway, and then kind of stepping diagonally into their space. And then ideally, if you've lined yourself up well with the shoulder and the nose, they'll naturally want to point into you. And it actually worked. It felt like magic.
Okay. Yes. I saw what you posted and I was like, oh, I wonder if this came from her groundwork lesson. So I love that context.
Yes. Yes. So cool. I'll try to share the things I learned. So if anyone wants to try anything, you'll get extra horse tips because it is good. Like you said, it's the stuff we take for granted regularly. I'm excited to when I actually ride too. I think we'll be mixing it up here and there, but I always have Mildred if I need to go get a riding fix. So
love that.
Yes. How about you? How's your gang? Are they still the lame ducks outside or are we improving?
They are improving. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, like speaking of appreciating time on the ground, like that's been my spring. I think I last rode a horse maybe 5 weeks ago, maybe sooner than that. I don't remember. Yeah. But yes, so Jobber's stone bruise, I assume, was a stone bruise because that kind of just lingered for a long time, never abscessed, and then he gradually got better. So he is super sound, which I found out, like confirmed for sure the other night when he just came barreling into the paddock from being let out for grass and like just trotted basically over the top of me. And I was like, hello, but also, hi, you're very sound. So that's nice. So I appreciate him giving me the close up. That was super helpful of him. And then Shorty blew a hind abscess a few days ago and then blew the front abscess a couple days after that. So that was super gross. Like that's one of the biggest abscesses he's ever blown. Like I think the split, all of his go out the top. I have never gotten this horse to drain an abscess out the bottom the way you want them to. They always come out the top. And it's blown like probably a 3-inch wide chunk where the hoof meets the pastern. So that's great. That's going to be really fun for us in about 6 to 8 months when that grows all the way down. But for now, at least he's feeling a lot better. But he also now has cellulitis in that leg. So he just wasn't content to just like let that be enough. So, but yeah, my vet came out yesterday because I had texted her like the week prior and was like, listen, this horse keeps getting multiple abscesses. Like anyone who's listened to the show for a long time is like, yeah, this is nothing new for Shorty to have an abscess. It's at least the second time that he's had multiple abscesses at a time in different feet, which is never a good sign. But like last spring, we took him up to the clinic. We had x-rays taken of all 4 feet. There was nothing unusual in the foot that would explain why he's doing this. So I always find that to be a good place to start is like, image the foot, ask your vet, like, is there a red flag in here? Is there a reason this is like this? Because these things don't just happen. And this many, I was like, I don't think this is like just you have bad feet, right? Like, you know, we take care of his feet. He gets regular trims. I clean up the trim with a rasp in between, like every 2 weeks. He's on KPP's Keriform. Like he's on all the stuff, you know. We do everything we can other than, you know, the environmental factors we can't really control to keep his feet in good shape. And he is just throwing abscesses left and right. So he does have Lyme. He has been treated for Lyme. But I was like, why don't you come out and pull some blood and let's test him for Lyme. And we're also testing him for PPID, which is someone is going to call me out on this being incorrect. It's either is Cushing's or is closely related to Cushing's. He has like zero other symptoms of having Cushing's, but I have heard from a number of other thoroughbred people that these horses can have Cushing's or this related PPID and not have any of the typical symptoms, right? Like Cushing's you think of as like the old horse condition, like where they kind of are shaggy and they hold on. They might have like a crusty neck. I might be combining this with something else, but, you know, Shorty, like for all intents and purposes, other than the fact that he's occasionally quite lame with an abscess, like just looks like a healthy young horse. So he doesn't have any of the other, like, you know, symptoms of Cushing. So I was like, let's just test it anyway. So still waiting to hear back on that one. I will be fascinated if that is actually what comes back positive. And like, it turns out that that's why he has abscesses all the time. So we're going down a bunch of different rabbit holes. No idea where they're going to lead, but I am really tired of soaking and wrapping this horse and watching him hobble around. So we're trying to follow any lead we can to try to figure out like why this horse has abscesses so frequently. So thank you for coming on this journey, everyone. It's been fun and expensive.
Oh my gosh. You're at least doing the full scientific method to figure out what is going on here, but
yeah, because I mean he's only 12, 13. Like he's not that old. So, you know, like he's not at a point where like we're not going to give up on him, right? Like if he's chronically lame and we've investigated everything, then like yes, that's a different conversation, right? About quality of life. But there's still some leads to pursue, so we're not quite at that point. He was, I will say, he was so lame the other night. And then he also must have kicked himself in the stomach trying to get up. So he also has like an edema underneath, like a big swelling or like a hematoma where he like whacked himself. So he looked like total garbage. His leg was real fat. Like the abscess hadn't blown yet. And like Eric said goodbye to him instead of goodnight. I was like, oh, I don't think it's that bad, but maybe it is. I don't know. You know, so that was kind of sad. But I was like, surprise, he's still here the next day. So yeah, that's where we're at with the short horse. You have to laugh because otherwise you'll be sad. So
that's true. I do remind myself that all the time.
Yeah. And you know, these horses in general, I mean, you know, we always joke of like, oh, these thoroughbreds, but this is the thing with horses in general, any breed, you know, you have to have a sense of humor. So
it's true. It's true. And I'm sure, I mean, spring with as wet as it's been, I know several people dealing between abscesses, winter fat leg that has migrated into spring, skin fungus, you name it. I've seen many friends dealing with it just given the wetness of this season. So,
well, and I'm interested to talk to Shannon again today because I know her horse was kind of up and down with like maybe a bruise or abscess situation that won't be going anywhere. So we'll pick her brain too and see where she's at. But yeah, for the cellulitis yesterday, the vet was like, well, good thing, you know, I happened to be here because he is actually like, this is an immediate problem. So she gave him a huge injection of antibiotics, like the good stuff. And when I turned them out on grass, you know, I was like, all right, well, that leg looks a lot better, you know, by the afternoon. And then when I went back in the evening, it's like 10 minutes to nine and I cannot catch him or Wes. They are absolutely feral. They are just running around in the dark. It's raining. I have Jobber and I'm like, you like 12 hours ago, you could barely walk. And now he's like literally like float trotting past me, like snorting to high heaven. Wes is the worst delinquent ancient old man in the world. Like he started it. I was like, I'm going to kill all of you. So I finally like just waited and Shorty calmed down enough and came over and was like, oh, what's going on? And I caught him with Wes's halter. And then I just abandoned Wes. I was like, I will come back for you another time. So I took the thoroughbreds in and then Wes is out in the dark and I just hear like, hey, hello. Aww. And I was like, listen, if you're going to be a dweeb and get everybody all fired up and be uncatchable, you can stand out there and be alone for 5 minutes. So yeah, a little bit of School of Tough Knocks around here. So sorry. But it was fine. I caught him up after that and he was like, so sorry, I am here. I am nice. Eric's going to bring them in tonight, so we'll see how it goes. That can be Eric's problem.
It's going to go great. It's going to go great. I mean, Zach's got the twins by himself right now, so they're both going to do great.
The men can pull their weight sometimes. It's fine.
Yes. Yes.
No offense to our male listeners. We appreciate you very much.
Well, I'll do the male listeners one solid. I bought Zach riding lessons for his birthday this week, so we will have some horse husband content.
That's coming. So exciting. I can't wait for that.
Me too. As in, it's with a different barn. It's a hunter barn. So.
Oh boy. Oh, Zach the Hunter King. That'll be exciting.
I mean, I had to. He's riding in romp breeches, so.
Oh my God. I am so jazzed for this.
Me too. Hey. I'm biased, but I think he looks good in them. So it's going to be even more fun to put him in a Hunter Princess bar. And for everyone listening, if you listened to our last episode, it is Haley and Sarah's barn from Blue Dahlia. So it's a very welcoming barn too. So he'll fit in just fine.
Love that.
Yes. Yes. But enough about horse husbands and their shortcomings on days and how good they look in breeches. We are going to go into our episode, super stoked for it, because it is always fun to get an update from our Making the Makeover trainers, as well as a training tip of the week, because now that I'm back in lessons, I'm like super hungry for more knowledge because I'm playing with horses again. So selfishly, super stoked to talk new vocations. But before that, we're going to hear from our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products.
Is your horse struggling with a dry, flaky, or dull coat, or a brittle mane and tail? Does he have quarter cracks, toe cracks, crumbling hooves, or other hoof issues? Is he prone to losing shoes? These are the first signs of inadequate nutrition. Even horses consuming enough energy to maintain appropriate weight can be missing the vitamins, minerals, fats, and proteins needed to support tough hooves and a shiny coat. If your horse faces any of these challenges, try Careiform Hoof and Coat. Careiform is a scientifically formulated blend of nutrients that softens and nourishes the skin, increases natural oils in the coat, bringing out dapples and enhancing both color and sheen, and toughens hooves. For more information, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974. I will add for listeners, Careiform is approved by Shorty Harmon. Well, we are back with our Make the Makeover trainer and longtime retired Racehorse Radio listener and Horse Radio Nation Horse Radio Network. Gosh, I'm really in the nation mindset today. Horse Radio Network auditor, Shannon. So Shannon, welcome back to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Thanks again. Great to be here as always.
You know, we don't talk very frequently about the auditor program, so we're going to give a quick spot for that because that is open to any listener of any HRN show of which Retired Racehorse Radio is included. So Shannon, like, give us, like, from your perspective, what does it mean to be an auditor and what do you get out of it?
Literally the audit. So I do not have a Facebook presence on like public or, you know, whatever, like my normal Facebook. I don't post anything on there. Hardly. The only place I post, I talk, I share anything is in the auditor group. Literally. I love the auditor group. I think we kind of mentioned last time about our imaginary friends, our imaginary Facebook friends that we have in these other states. But literally the auditor group is like, they're friends. They're people that you you know, we might have been chatting for the last several years, obviously never met them, but I know in a pinch, any single one of them would be like, you know, hey, if I need a place to crash, hey, I need a place, you know, an idea for this, or I need, you know, input or suggestions or whatever. They're just like a big family that that are always there and supportive. Everybody is supportive. You don't get the negative trolling that you get on regular stuff. It's just, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's the not auditor group. Auditor yeah, group is yeah. literally, yeah, they're awesome. Yeah. They're awesome.
Yep. So it basically works like a Patreon, and it might actually be billed through Patreon, but either way, you just, you know, a small monthly auditor fee, and then you're in this private Facebook group. And there are some other perks too. You know, there's auditor only feeds of your favorite shows. We don't do one yet for this show. We joke about it a lot because we have a lot of chaotic moments that don't make it onto
the air. That probably would be, yeah, like the auditor feed after the post show. Yeah.
Yes. I think every now and then we have like a little bonus tidbit we'll throw in there from Retired Racehorse Radio, but for the main, you know, banner show, Horses in the Morning, that is the place to get your extra bonus fix. So anyway, give that one a thought, folks. And if you like all things Horse Radio Network, join the auditors and hang out with Shannon and me and Joy.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, it is. It's truly a fantastic group. I just literally, that is the only place I have a Facebook presence or a social media presence, period, is in that auditor group.
So if you too would like to hang out with Shannon online, that's the place.
Woohoo! You get to hang out with me.
Well, it's the next best thing, right? Because we can't hang out in person, even though we said, I think last time, like how much we were like, oh man, you know, it'd be really fun to like sit in the barn aisle with Shannon at the end of the day with a beer. So yes. This is the next best thing, is we hang out and record the podcast and, you know, get the updates on your horse. So last time I know he was fighting some like sort of hoof mystery, as was I, and I'm happy to say that our tide has turned. We're on the upswing again here. So I'm hoping
that is fantastic.
Did like any of that good karma make its way down to you?
Yeah, I think it got stuck on the road somewhere. It's not made its way down to me. I think we might need to rename my segment the not making the makeover segment. I'm not sure. No, we still have
time. It's too early to call it. Yeah, we won't call it yet.
You have lots of time, so.
We do. We do still have lots of time, but I just had to laugh because this is what now, the third episode, and it's like, yeah, I still haven't sat on my horse. We still have done nothing. But we've got the, I'm still saying it's an abscess. I still believe it's an, well, we do have proof that it was an abscess. But I'm calling it, the abscess from hell. I don't know if I can say hell, but it's now going on close to 2.5 months. The vet has, since we last spoke, I think we last spoke on April 8th, the vet was out yet again, and she was out on April 13th. We did another, we kind of started from scratch, did a whole nother lameness again, exam, did a whole another blocking session, and did a whole nother set of x-rays. And this time we did find a gas pocket. There was actually a pretty good sized gas pocket. And so she went ahead, it was fairly deep, probably about a centimeter deep. And so she's like, you want me to go ahead and dig it out? And I was like, yeah, let's go for it. So so she dug it out. It was kind of weird because it wasn't the typical abscess where you get, you know, like the nice pus and the drainage and then they feel immediately better. This was literally gas. And so when she got to the pocket, there was like a hiss of gas came out.
What?
Yeah, never. I mean, I've had horses my entire life, basically, well over 50 years, and I have never experienced this kind of an abscess.
Was she surprised?
She was surprised. She wasn't like super surprised. She's like, yeah, that happens sometimes.
Oh.
But I think she expected, you know, stuff to come out other than gas. Yeah. So the gas came out. We did in a whole lot of blood because there was a vessel that she kind of hit along the way to get there. And so She literally had to put a tourniquet on him to stop the blood. It was a lot of blood. Sorry for anybody if that's too gory, but and so there was hope that, okay, yes, you know, this is it. And he definitely got better. It wasn't like the instant, you know, usually once you get him to pop, you know, there's almost like immediate relief. And we didn't get that. It took like a week or two. Then he was definitely much more sound. He was, you know, walking on flat. He was totally fine. The only time it really seemed to bother him is if you turned on, it's his left front again. Only time it really bothered him is if you like turned a kind of a tight circle to the left or whatever. It you know, he was definitely off then. And so I thought, okay, great. We're making progress. And then last week, we kind of took a step back, and now he's lame again. Oh, and yeah. So she is coming back tomorrow. I'm having the same one. So I think I mentioned last time that my practice, it's several vets. So you're never really sure who's going to come out, right? Yeah. And so I was really happy with her last time. So I actually requested her. She was just super, super, super thorough in all her stuff. And so, I specifically requested her again, and she's going to come out tomorrow, and we're going to do another set of x-rays. And unless it's something completely, you know, 100% obvious again, I'm going to go ahead. I think I mentioned last time that I was going to do a potentially like an MRI or a CT. And, so at this point, if we don't find something definite and we can't get something that, you know, oozes pus or whatever, again, sorry to be gross, but I'm gonna go ahead and, because I can't, I mean, we're now going on 2.5 months, this poor horse has been like, it's a long time,
lingering, right?
Exactly. And she mentioned, and I know you have experience with this, Kristen, she mentioned like a keratoma. And I was like, oh Lord, please no. But we've now done two sets of x-rays so far, and there is zero. Like, you see those in x-rays, I think, most of the time. That's where I'm assuming you saw yours.
Well, so that was what was interesting with Shorty. Like, there was, like, something that our clinic vet just was like, I don't know what this is. Like, initially she's like, oh, I think there's, like, a chip in here. And I was like, oh, well, that's great. And then she's like, no, it's not a chip. It's not, you know, like, that's not what this is. But something is odd in here. And she referred those to a university vet hospital, and I don't think, if I remember correctly, they actually didn't discover it was a keratoma until they went in there.
Wow.
And they might not have like gone surgically in, but I think they had to like bump up another level of imaging at least.
Okay.
It wasn't like, so I think you're bang on to do a CT or an MRI at this point. Because yeah. I think that's what now that I'm thinking about it, I think, because I know he was all the way under at that point, and they were like, okay. Oh, keratoma. Well, we're just going to go for it. And I was like, yep.
Just go up. Do your thing.
But yeah. I know, because they do have to be all the way out, I believe, for a CT. Is that right?
For the MRI, they do have to be all the way out. For the CT, the CT, I believe they do not have to be all the way out.
So whichever one he was like conked all the way out for, that's where they found it. That's where they were like, aha. Because they were like, he's already under, so we're just going for it. And I was like,
great. So might as well do it. Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
Now. So, but yeah, it was a surprise to us because that was not initially on the table.
Right.
But yeah, if you're already sending him for that kind of imaging, then yeah.
Like yeah. One, I mean, I've got maybe, to.
You know?
Yeah. Right. We've got to figure out what's going on because it's, yeah, the poor guy. And initially I was leaning towards an MRI because I think they said, you know, the first vet said it was just much more, you know, it's more clear. You could just get a better picture, blah, blah, blah. It is the more expensive of the two. But after the last vet, so funny, well, not funny, but when she blocked him this last time on April 13th, we got the lameness 100% resolved with just blocking his foot, which the last time she did not. Last time it was only like maybe 75% resolved. This time that was 100% resolved, but then he was off on his right front after we blocked the left front. So then she's like, why we're here blocking, let's go ahead and just see what's up on that side. And so she ended up blocking all the way up to, I don't know the technical term, but basically basically up to his knee on the right leg before that one resolved. And I'm going somewhere with this story. And so she's thinking that is probably just some like proximal suspensory irritation, something like that. And who knows, that could just be from him offloading from the left, you know, onto his right for the last 2.5 months. So she wasn't super worried about it. But where I'm going with that is if we do the CT, if we did the MRI, it was literally just the left foot. I think we were going to do like pastern down just to make sure. But apparently if you do the CT, because the way the machine works, or at least the one by me, they actually do both front legs at the same time. Okay. And they do from the knee down. And so in one shot, we can find out what's going on. But we can, you know, the left, and she said, like, the CT should still be able to find out if there is a keratoma or there is a soft tissue issue or whatever. Mm-hmm. We should still be able to find that out with the CT. It's just not as clear as MRI, but we should still get all the information we need to know. And we can kill two birds with one stone and find out exactly what's going on that right side, if it's just a little proximal dysmitis or whatever. And bonus, the CT is actually a little less expensive. And and they don't have to knock them completely out. So,
which is safer?
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow. And if we don't get something, you know, super concrete, then that will be our next step, is doing the CT. So that is our great news. Oh, and I do have to say one thing. In the last episode, we were talking real quickly. We were talking about my equine dentist, and I'm sure nobody else remembers this but me, because it's bothered me ever since we hung up that call. I said he was a British guy, and then I was like, no, he's not British, he's from here. And then after I hung up, I'm like, what's wrong with me? He very much is a British guy. So my equine dentist in this area is very much a British guy. He was a former jockey, and yeah, I have no idea why I was so confused when I was talking last time, but I had to clarify that in case anybody around here is listening and is like, what the heck? Grandma's very much a British guy.
Now it's on the record now.
So it's on the record. But yeah, so that's the plan, is to see what happens tomorrow and then go for the CT. And hopefully we can get an answer for this poor guy.
Yeah, I know. I'll be crossing my fingers for you. If it helps you, I know you're like, this is not making the makeover. I haven't done any training. Personally, I find all this very fascinating. Maybe because also at a point in my like horse ownership journey where I spend more time down than riding, because we also have all sorts of fascinating lameness things going on. But I also think this is the reality of having horses, and it's worth talking about, right? That like,
exactly. You know,
that's what I'm doing with Shorty right now. Is like, I had just had my vet out, not only because he just blew the world's like literally the biggest abscess blowout I've ever seen on a foot. I was like, oh boy, this is going to be fun when that grows out down to the ground and like half his foot falls off. But like, that's a problem for future me. I will just take the horse's sounder now, so that's fine. Now I have to go through the next step of diagnostics, which is, why does this horse abscess so frequently? And like, realistically, when you're in this situation, you owe it to the horse to do all this. So you're doing everything exactly right, like to keep escalating the diagnostics until you get your answer. Like, that's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And to echo Kristen, like, two parts. One, I also find this interesting, because like, it really goes back of no hoof, no horse, and how
1,000%
the hoof foundation and health is. But also going back, if listeners have been with us a while, I swear there's a trend that most of our contestants do not start getting on or really riding their horses until like June or July. For different reasons.
Not unusual. Exactly. I mean, if you, in the trainers group, I think somebody just posted earlier this morning, she was feeling really down because, you know, she had barely been on her horse and was feeling behind and all that. And it's like, no, I mean, I think, yeah, there are people out there that have been going to shows and, oh, we're doing this and we're doing that and we're doing all this amazing stuff. And that's fantastic for them. But I think a very large percentage of us do have these struggles, and like you said, it is reality, and especially I think for these guys coming off the track, it's a completely different world for them. Their bodies are doing, you know, everything. Their bodies, their feet, their nutrition is just their world's got turned upside down. And so, yeah, they're going to, it's going to be a struggle sometimes, but
I think it's very easy to, for us to like the stereotypes have been there for so long, right? To be like, well, it's because the track messes them up and that's why they're so lame when you first take them off the track. And I think people are really overlooking what a big transition that is in lifestyle. Like they are living in, you know, like debate how healthy this is for the horse overall, all you want, but that's a whole separate conversation. But the reality is they're living in stalls on straw bedding most of the time. They go out, they work, they come back to the stall, they'll hot walk, whatever, they'll get a bath, whatever. And that's
a liniment bath.
Right. But like that is their life. And now we're taking them and we're like, oh, time to be a horse. And we like, here's your full turnout. Now stand in the dewy grass for 23 hours. And get your feet all nice and soft. Like the reality is like, no matter how well we think we're transitioning them, that's still a big change, like both mentally and physically and conditionally. Like I think we think of the physical change of like, look how different he's muscled. But it's like, also you've changed his complete lifestyle. Like if I was standing in wet grass all the time, like my feet would hurt too.
They're young. They're young horses who are still developing and maturing. Like a lot of these horses coming off might be 4, 5, 6 years old. Like they're not even done filling out and growing. So their bodies,
absolutely.
Like, if we can go back to remembering puberty as much as we don't want to, our bodies changed so much. My frontal lobe didn't develop till I was 28. Like,
I'm not sure that mine even has still yet.
Is still questionable. And then I got pregnant and my gray matter shrunk. So
you lose it. Absolutely.
We went backwards.
Yeah.
You know, we don't think about those things with these horses. So not only are we taking them out of their very structured, like, I won't call it militant, but it is almost like a military school vibe.
Structured. It's super, super structured.
Yeah. And then we're like, okay, time for you to like have free will to some degree. And they're like, I'm sorry. What?
I mean, it's completely. And this is a little off topic, but not really, but just has to do with, you know, them being young and growing and their bodies are doing something different. Even though I haven't done much with Charlie, I did something super exciting a couple of weeks ago. Well, I think it's exciting. A bit of a segue, but again, not really. But I went to a full horse dissection down in Atlanta like 2 weeks ago. It was amazing. As much as it sounds, I know a lot of people like have, and you know, how could you do that? How can you see that? Whatever. It was the most educational experience ever. It was put on by Kristen. I think I shared this lady with you many, many months ago, but Bexnairn is her name.
Yeah.
And she's based in New Zealand, and she came over to the U.S. and did 3 U.S. dissections in the last month. And they were two-day dissections, and these were horses that, you know, the people volunteered. None of them happened to be thoroughbreds, I don't think. So that really, but she, the one when in New Zealand, she does a lot of work with ex racers, both thoroughbreds and standardbreds, and just talking about what goes on, you know, their growth. Yeah, well, I don't know if we want to get into all that, but yeah, I mean, their bodies don't stop growing until they're, you know, 6 and 7 and their growth plates and all that. And so when they come off, after, you know, all the training and everything they're doing at the track, there's stuff going on in there that needs to work its way out and is going to take time.
Right. And especially, like blast it in a completely different environment. And that's, things are going to come to surface that you never knew were there.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think that's also true for other breeds too. Like
1,000%. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's very easy to sort of like paint the thoroughbred with a broad brush, right? Like, and the people
will absolutely
always do that. But then you look at, like, you know, I came from a strong I don't want to say a strong reining background, but I worked for a university equestrian center, and a lot of our horses were donated because, you know, donate your horse to a nonprofit university and you get a nice big tax write-off. So we were getting a lot of 5-year-olds that were done with their reining career.
Yes. Yep.
And it was like, wait, this is a 5-year old.
Five-year-old.
Like,
yep.
You'd be like, oh, we got an old one. It's 7. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, it's what?
Really, you know, yeah.
Why? And sometimes now, like, we'll go way down a rabbit hole here and I'll start like spiraling about the ethics of like horse ownership and horse riding in general, which is not a place we necessarily need to go this evening, but it does make you think, right? Though. Of like, are we doing well by these horses? I think we are. And I think we're all doing the best we can with the information that we have, right?
And I think we're definitely, I mean, as you know, many negative things that social media and stuff can have, there's a whole lot of positive stuff on there. And there's so much material available out there for people to educate themselves, you know, different groups, different, this, again, I'm going to tout Bex because she just posts so much information. And yeah, it's not just thoroughbreds and standardbreds, it's all breeds, but she posts so much free information and you can just learn so much. And it is, yeah, it is all breeds. And so I think we're doing better. We're learning more and we're, you know, there's again, so many places to educate yourself that we can do better for them. But I'm not going to lie. There's been many times where I'm like, you know what? Maybe I don't ever ride my horses ever again, because when you see what actually is going on in some of their bodies and the compensation patterns that they have to do, and you know, the old saying, the, you know, the hip bones connected to the knee bones connected to the ankle bone or whatever, it is all connected. So when he is having an issue with his left foot now for the last 2.5 months, his whole body is sore from walking wonky, and his back is tight, and you know, his hamstrings are tight. I'm massaging him like almost every day. I've got a massage gun and we're doing massages and I'm doing red light therapy and we're doing belly lifts and I'm trying to do all this stuff just to try to keep his body in, as you know, keep it as good as I can at this point. But yeah, of course it's gonna affect him. And so yeah, people just have to realize that, just, you know, one, and you and I, you know, like, you know, I work out in the morning and then I sit at a desk for 6 hours. When I get up, I'm tight. I have to struggle walking down the stairs. And so we have bad days. We twist our ankles. We do whatever. They do too. And we just have to realize that, stuff goes on. Just because it doesn't show up on an x-ray or it doesn't show up when the vet is here, it doesn't mean that there's not something going on in, right, in their bodies. And we just have to be more aware of that. And the old adage, you know, you wish horses can talk, and they do talk. We have to listen, and we have to listen before they have to scream. And that's what ends up happening a lot of times. So we just got off on a total segue there, but yeah, the dissection was just absolutely fascinating, though. And what was cool is that the lady that donated her horse, she was there. So she part of it. So all three that she did here, the owner was very much part of it. You know, it was like Beck said she was coming, you know, if there's anybody that wants to host, anybody that has a horse that they want to donate. And so this woman had been planning on probably putting her horse down soon, and it was a 13-year-old Holsteiner who ended up having DSLD, and then there was a whole bunch of other stuff going on inside that she had absolutely no clue about. And she had had this horse since it was a weanling, literally. Wow. bought her as like a 6-month-old, had her entire life and had no idea, and had seen numerous vets and referral hospitals and all kinds of stuff. She knew about the DSLD. There was a whole bunch of other stuff going on inside there that nobody had any clue, despite all of the...
You'll never find it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's until wild. You cut them open. Yeah. It's even, you know, CTs, MRIs, there's still parts of their body that we can't see on imaging, and you will never find it until you cut them open after they're gone.
Yeah.
And so, anyway. Yeah.
Fascinating, though.
Total segue. It was
That was great. No, I love that. I'm glad that you got that experience. Like, someday I hope I can, I'll keep an eye out for stuff like that and try to get to one of those, because that is.
She will be back, really, I think, next year. She's going to try. And there's another lady, and I'm happy to share this information with you if you want, but Trinity Equine, I think, is the name of her. I think she's based in Texas, but she does some, like around the country. You don't necessarily have to go to Texas. She does some around the country. And so there are some people that do them. I would go to another one in a heartbeat if I had an opportunity. It was just, it was so fascinating.
Fascinating. Well, we intended to talk about nutrition, which now I think we're going to just put that off for another episode, because this was just a super interesting conversation. And I think it's just an important conversation to continue having, about doing right by your horses and digging to get to the bottom of these things and the reality of it. You can get horses with the best of intentions and, sometimes they just aren't sound.
It's funny because
that is the reality.
His first couple of months, everything was great. I mean, he was just, everything went so smoothly. I was like, oh my God, this is great. Like the first 4 months.
Another in the family. Yeah.
And then, the whole foot thing, like the barefoot thing. And my mom actually said to me like last week, she's like, well, why don't you just put shoes on him? And I'm like, if you need shoes, no problem. As much as I love having them barefoot, if he needs shoes, I have no problem putting shoes on him. My hoof trimmer, even her horse, does not do well barefoot. She has gluons on him, and so it's not like I'm, we have to do barefoot. It's not going to help him now, because where we ended up digging out, they would have had to pull his shoes anyway, and he's got a big hole there, so he couldn't. It's not going to help him right now,
and that's not going to solve the problem. You don't know what the problem is. That's
why he's getting. I still believe that it's just all the crap coming out of his feet. That's my, that's my belief. Or just a bruise. Got a bruise probably in that horrific ice concrete we had. Oh. And then all that and the crap all coming out of his feet. I'm hoping that's all it is. I mean, I'm hoping obviously it's not something worse, like a keratoma or something else. But if he ends up needing shoes, no problem. But even my trimmer was like, I don't think he's doing great. Other than this, his feet look fabulous, and he's normally, he's doing great. So, but if I need to put shoes on him, I'll put shoes on him. But the first 4 months were just so smooth, and he's such a chill guy and nothing bothers him. And I was like all excited, but of course, we had to be derailed. Oh, just one more thing. I even had a session with an animal communicator last week. And this was the first time I've ever done it, because I'm a little skeptical. I don't know how. I mean, I am a little woo-woo, so I do believe in the energy and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know how somebody, I can see if somebody like comes to your place and they put their hands on them and they, are getting stuff in them, that I can kind of buy. But this person is like in another state, and she just communicates by looking at the picture. And I don't quite buy it, but a good friend of mine has done it a couple of times, and she really believed it. And I was like, I'm kind of desperate. I want to know if there's something else going on in him that I'm not seeing. And she also said that she felt like it was an abscess. Again, who was she? She's nobody, but she thought it was an abscess and just kind of like a deep subsolar one. But she did say something that kind of really, made me emotional, because she said, because I asked, is he happy? Is he happy living here? Is he happy, not being at the track? Does he miss racing? And she says, no, he thinks racing was the dumbest thing he's ever done. And I thought that was kind of funny. But she said that he's really frustrated. Now, hopefully I don't get emotional saying it, but she said he's really frustrated. He's happy. He's very happy. He's, just kind of a goofy goofball, which is him. I mean, the things that she said were all right on. But she said he's really frustrated right now because I am going to start getting emotional. He wants to do things and his body won't let him do it. And that just made me sad, because he's ready to go. He's telling her he's ready to go, but his body won't let him do it right now. So
that makes me sad too, because I know a lot of people like that, right? Like, mm-hmm. like people that I know that want to do more than they can. And mm-hmm. yeah. Now we're all going to be sad.
Well, now
thanks,
we're all crying. And to end on that note, no.
Well, you know, you can look at it positively too, of like, he's eager to do things with you. And while there's this pause in his life right now to do it, like, he wants the partnership. So I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you the glass half full on that.
Well, thank you.
There you go. Thanks,
thank
Joy.
You. Thank you.
I'm here for it.
Shannon, this was super fascinating. We're going to send you good vibes, of course, for tomorrow's vet appointment and answers soon. But
the good juju that you had from your horses getting through it.
Just I know, I got lost in shipping. I'm sorry.
Put it on a rush.
Yeah.
Put it on expedited shipping.
We'll overnight that down to you.
Get it down here. I would appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, Shannon, thanks again, as always, because it is still a lovely conversation, even if things aren't quite going to plan. And we will look forward to an update next month.
Thank you so much. I hope to have some, something more positive and actually training related and something. Oh, sorry. One more quick thing. My the person that I got the saddle from the last month, she sent me a message the other day. She's like, hey, just wanted to check in and see how the new saddle's doing. Is everything going great? And I was like,
too soon, lady. Get out of here.
Funny you mention that. It hasn't been on my horse since you tried it on him, but it looks great sitting on my saddle rack in my tag room. Anyway. All right, till next time, take care, you guys. I appreciate it.
Tired of flies bugging your barn? Kill flies before they hatch with Fly Predators, nature's fly-fighting bugs that kill as many as 70,000 flies with a single delivery. Fly Predators are beneficial insects that kill flies before they hatch. They break the fly life cycle at the source, naturally and safely. They don't bother people or animals, but they do keep your barn, pasture, or paddock way more comfortable. With Fly Predators, your fly control is taken care of in just a few minutes each month. No chemicals, no daily spraying, just fewer flies all season. Learn more at info.spalding-labs.com. Little bugs, big difference.
Well, we are back with everyone's favorite segment because we get to do a little window shopping and also get a fun new training tip or discussion. And we have with us today Amanda Vance from the New York facility of New Vocations. Welcome back to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Thanks for having me.
It's always fun to, first of all, talk to, you know, my fellow New Yorkers and see, like, you know, we're up here in the north doing the thing. But also, you know, it's always fun to talk to you as well as Bridget, because, you know, you guys have like both sides of the program. I know Bridget does the thoroughbreds mostly for herself. She doesn't have a thoroughbred facility at New Vocations, but, you know, in New York, you officially have both breeds in the program, right?
Yep. But I am Bridget's official thoroughbred supplier.
Oh, yes. She has mentioned that, which I think is a really funny way that you guys work together. She's like, Amanda found me another one. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that.
I take a lot of pride in finding her RRP mounts every year.
Because it's been like, what, like 3-4 years in a row now?
Yes. And some of her students, too.
Wow.
That's hilarious. Yeah, she needs like a sticker that's like officially supplied by.
I know. I want to be in the stands with like a poster that says, I found that one for her, you know. Just
right. Oh, yeah.
I'm
because
her biggest fan, you know, things like that.
Yeah, because the way that they record that information, it would just say New Vocations. It wouldn't say who.
I'm very competitive. So like, I am like, ooh, look how many of those at RRP came from the New York facility.
Oh, man. Yeah, you guys should keep score at, like, the headquarters.
Some of us do.
Okay, good.
Some of us do. Some of us are more competitive than others.
Well, good thing that you found your way to the retired racehorses who are... ideally all competitive, although I guess maybe that's how they find their way to you, is because they're not competitive.
Or not. Right, exactly.
Well, okay, because you are one of our trainers who, you know, kind of specializes in both. I was curious, you know, what do you, how is it, this feels like a really obvious question, right? But like, what's different when you work with standardbreds versus thoroughbreds that maybe like isn't as obvious, right? Like there's some obvious things, right? Like, oh, the standardbreds drive and the thoroughbreds don't. Like beyond that, beyond that point, what do you think is, you know, just like philosophically maybe in the horse, like what's a big difference between these breeds?
So So when I think about a standard bred versus a thoroughbred, I think about a standard bred lives in things, right? Like he, you know, he's doing the things, and a thoroughbred lives through them. Like, for instance, I was thinking about answering this, and I was thinking about how I would describe from a standardbred or a thoroughbred's point of view something that they had done. So I was thinking about, like, okay, you take a standardbred out on a trail ride. A standardbred would come back to the barn and tell you, I went for a walk through the woods, and it would be no big deal. I trotted through the woods, whatever they did. And a thoroughbred is going to tell you, he'd come back to the barn and say, I walked through the barn and I went through the trees and the ground was soft and then it was rocky and the trees were moving and then the leaves were moving and then, you know, we were trotting and then, you know, there was a big field and then I came back through the woods and then, you know, and it would be much more descriptive and there would be a lot more feeling and awareness than the standardbred had. And it doesn't mean that one did it better than the other. It just is sort of how they interpret things. I think they interpret things differently. I think that the, you know, thoroughbred, and listen, we're making a lot of generalizations here, right? Like,
sure.
We know that not every horse is the same, but for the most part, the standardbreds are just, they do it once and it's like they've done it a million times. And the thoroughbreds are just a little more, they require a little more, you know, finesse, a little more accuracy. Maybe they're a little, they're just, the sensitivity level is a little different. Whereas the standardbred, they're a bit more tolerant of everything, really, right? Of everything. So.
Yeah, that is like you've boiled it down to something I think I've been like trying to enunciate for years. Like, it is funny, like the thoroughbreds are just so like, oh my god, like all the time. It's like every day is their first day on the planet and you're like, what is going on here? And the standardbreds are just like, yep.
I think of texters, like who's going to send you the paragraph and then end up going, can we just hop on a call? Versus the standard bride who just says, okay. And then you'll send them a fun emoji later and they're going to go, what?
Yeah, they'll just leave you on red. You're like,
exactly.
No.
Really? It really is that way.
That's so accurate.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's hilarious. Joy, I think that's a social post that's waiting to be
written. I know. Coin that for later.
Texting with my standard bread. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're like, this guy. Yeah. And then the thoroughbred is the way I text, which is like, as I have the thought, I send it. And someone checks their phone like an hour later and they're like, what happened? There's like 8 messages from me, like several paragraphs wrong. Yeah.
Exactly. Including the intrusive thoughts too.
Yeah. Yeah.
If like the barn's on fire and you're like, what? And then well, it could be.
What is going on here? Yeah. Yeah. Like, I love both of the breeds that I have, but this like, standardbred cracks me up. He is so unimpressed by everything.
Sometimes, like, I think they're looking down on you.
Yes, it doesn't help. He's got a big Roman nose, so he literally is always looking down on me anyway. Yes, just because it's like how he sees.
Yeah,
I'm like, gosh, this horse is just like, meh. I'm like, you could set this thing on fire, and he'd be like, meh, and just roll and put it out. Right. Like, he just doesn't care.
Right. So,
and he is the funniest animal I've ever had. So,
but also, they don't care in such a good way.
Right. Yeah, they're not like complacent.
They're not like, I don't want anything to do with you. They're just like, okay. Like, we're doing the things. Okay.
Yeah, you know? Like, they're with you every step of the way, but they're like,
right. Okay, we're doing it.
I love them.
Yeah, right. Whereas,
want to eat more.
Right. And the thoroughbred's going to tell you how we're doing all the things a million different ways, you know, like they're just,
yeah. And this also makes sense why some days I just like, I don't have, I look at Jobber and I'm like, I don't have the energy for you today.
Right.
And I look at Wes and I'm like, that's the energy I have. And he's like, I will meet you where you're at. That's
great. Right. I think that's really, that's like a good point too. I think that the standard bread can absorb a lot more of your emotional and mental like states, right? The thoroughbred takes on more of it.
That's a good point,
right?
Yeah, like the standard bread is the therapy animal and the thoroughbred is the mirror that you didn't want.
Yes.
My next social post is, which euphoria is your horse? Like, which character are they? And everyone has just described the thoroughbred as Cassie.
Oh man. All right, well, this has been a delight. So I love this. Okay. Now I'm going to add Amanda to the list of people I'd like to get a beer with and make fun of horses in the barn aisle.
You've been promoted.
Yes. I love that. Right.
Yeah. All right. So tell us about our adoptable horse of the week. You have selected a thoroughbred for us. So now I'm like trying to reverse engineer this and be like, what is this telling me about Amanda's state right now? But we're not going to go there. So just,
you know what though? Here's the thing. She might be a thoroughbred, but I think in this case, maybe she identifies a little bit, personality wise, like the standard bred that we have generalized here.
All right. Tell us more. I'm intrigued.
Well, Filigini, she has proven to be so level-headed. She has been really, really easy to introduce to everything. New situations, no problem. We've started to introduce her to jumping. And she's happy to trot in, canter out of little fences, fences with fill underneath them, little flowers. Nothing seems to rattle her. She's quiet on the cross ties, loves attention. She's been so well behaved in the barn, in the field. She's had some change in turnout buddies. Doesn't matter to her. She's happy to get along with whatever mare she's been turned out with. She's just been easy. She's going to be a great little horse for. Well, she's not even really little. She's 16 hands. She's big bodied. She's going to be a great horse for somebody who maybe doesn't have as much experience bringing along a young thoroughbred. She's going to be easy for maybe a younger child rider with some help bringing along. She's just, I can't say enough great things about her. And she just kind of has gone through, transitioned very easily. So
she's definitely big body. I'm looking at this video. I mean, she really
does have a big body. I keep calling her little. She's really not little. She has a very, she's very full bodied. She's a full bodied gal.
Is that, I see in the description that she's named after an Italian wine. Is that a full bodied wine? Do we know?
I'm not like a wine person. You know, it is a red wine. Right. So it is a red wine, and so she comes from a farm that's actually, the breeders are actually local here, and they name a lot or all of their horses after wines in from a winery in Italy. So I look up a lot of wines. Because I'm always intrigued to see if the horse and the wine sort of match each other. And if it was a full-bodied bold wine, that would be a great, because she's very bold and confident under saddle.
Yeah, she has like a swagger. Like she, I just watched her just pop over these little cross rails and like the strut she has afterwards. She doesn't run, you know, she's not bolting after the fences. She's just like, oh yeah, I did that.
Yes. And that was the first time she had seen those. We had hosted a little horse show and all of the decor and everything was still out. It was the day after. I was like, hey, let's see if she goes over these. We hadn't, you know, we let her see them, you know, and we're just like, yeah, here you go. And she was like, here I go.
Love it. All right. Yeah. So if people are interested in Foligny,
Foligny.
Okay. If they're interested in this lovely chestnut mare, remind the people where to go to get that adoption form in.
Newvocations.org is the website. And they could also email me directly, amanda.vance@horseadoption.com.
All right. Well, Amanda, lovely horse. Thank you so much for joining us. Lovely conversation. And have a lovely spring in New York. We'll catch up again soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at The Horseback Writer, and you can follow along with our new farm adventures on Instagram at Painted Forest Farm. My email is kristen@horseradionetwork.com.
You can find me on Instagram at MisfitMare, and my email is joy@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and Spalding Labs, and to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show, as it really helps us grow. Remember to set your goals high and love to learn from every ride.
And cow side leg.
Bye, guys.